while very few people from the game back then are still around now, if that's not resonating through the minds of the people at the top of Major League Baseball and at the top of the Major League Baseball Players Association, they need to reassess their priorities. If you start losing games, you're going to start losing fans. If you start losing fans, then you have lost your soul. And that's what Major League Baseball needs to recognize is at stake here. That's what the union needs to recognize is at stake. And I think ultimately they will strike a deal because they are not going to cut off their noses to spite their faces.
Off to a flying start again, huh, Drake? Hey, feel good on this Thursday morning? Let Drake fix that for
you. Unless you want some random hockey highlight to start the day, that's kind of the only news going on.
Hey, Kansas City, baseball has lost its soul. Good morning. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati and the Drake Jason Justice. And there you heard Jeff Passan giving the good news about Major League Baseball. Shut down the league in their first lockout since 1990. We all remember the work stoppage in 94. That was a strike. It was a lockout. First lockout since I was senior in high school. Because we are sexy. We are mighty. We are the class of 1990. So. Still a true statement all these years later, oddly enough.
Sticks with you.
Yeah. So, lockout. You had all these flurry of moves, trades, signings. Unless, of course, you're a Royals fan. You had none of this. But, and I am not saying that's good or bad. I'm just telling you, you had none of it. Although they did sign a middle-of-the-road pitcher last night that we're not going to talk about. But, I guess we, I mean, we
Taylor
can.
Taylor Clark, come on, man.
If you want to. Yeah, hey, great. Tell me everything you know about him.
28 years old.
There we are. Hope that breakdown helps you in your fantasy baseball auctions coming up. So now there's nothing because at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, the collective bargaining agreement between Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association expired. And so at 12:01 this morning Eastern time, the league informed the players that it had locked them out, beginning the game's first work stoppage in more than 25 years. So, the big question is, and I'm looking at an article that was written by Jesse Rogers at ESPN.com. The big question is, could games be lost next year? And his answer is, yes, games could be lost. That's always a possibility once a work stoppage occurs, but with 3 months until the regular season begins, he says it would be shocking if 2022 didn't go a full 162 games. There's a chance spring training doesn't start on time, using that period as a soft deadline to force some issues to get resolved, but we're far from that happening. The side's already lost a lot of money during the pandemic. Anything short of a full season will be another devastating blow to the sport, both economically and from a public relations standpoint. So, as for the key dates, again, on another show and another day when we don't have a lot of football to talk about, we can talk about all the issues and everything else. I find that to be, like you said, you're sick of hearing about it. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about it. Tell me when baseball is going to be played. Tell me when there's going to be more trades. Tell me when the Royals cannot sign people again. So, well, I guess they can do that now, can't they? Oh, it's funny. Oh. I'm just making jokes because they didn't sign anyone. So, except for
Taylor Clark.
What are the key dates to look out for? February 1st should be looked at as a soft deadline for camps to open on time a little later that month. So, because not all teams have announced spring training report dates yet. So, In this article, they use February 1st as a soft deadline. Even if there's a scramble, it would allow enough time for players to get where they need to be. The good news is that other than the winter meetings, the baseball calendar is pretty clear in December and January. That's right, no winter meetings. So if you look forward to that, that's not going to happen. And so both sides still have a couple of months to get their blank together. Which, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Nothing would surprise me.
Nope.
The 2022 minor league season and players who are not on the 40-man roster assigned to a major league contract will be unaffected. Minor league teams will continue to hold mini camps, minor league spring training, and extended spring training for these players. Teams are continuing to adhere to the terms of all professional development league license agreements with their affiliates and will be operating their minor league operations uninterrupted. So, teams are still allowed to hire a manager. So the Mets and the A's can still look to hire a manager. But other than that, everything else is done. All transactions, signings. Players will not be allowed to use any team facilities. No winter meetings. Salary arbitration exchange deadline may be delayed. So all that good stuff out the window. Nate.
You know, the baseball offseason is not exactly the most exciting of the professional sports.
It is for me.
But the hot stove is still fun, right? Like,
right.
The trades, free agency, all that stuff, winter meetings.
And see, that's wild that you say that. It's the most exciting offseason for me.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Okay.
Well, trades, because I look forward to
all
that.
Right.
I look forward to the winter meetings is super exciting for me. Like, I have no excitement for, I mean, I like the NBA, but I don't sit there on pins and needles waiting for signings and trades. Football has made strides. Football is very exciting. But no, I love the winter meetings. But again, you're talking to somebody who's a rotisserie baseball geek, somebody who, I mean, I know like you guys don't get excited before the trade deadline. I go crazy for that stuff.
Yeah.
I love baseball trades. I love free agent signings. Drake, looks like you're shaking your head.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, the baseball trade deadline day is like my favorite day of the year. I just sit on the internet all day looking at trades.
What do you sit on? Like, oh boy, you really are excited about this trade deadline. No, but like the winter meetings, even though the Royals aren't always active, I've loved it. Like the last week, were you not into that or?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was wild. It was. With the Royals do some stuff, but yes, it's teach their own. Yeah, I'm older.
Yeah, no,
I'm an old man, I like trades. I like signings. I love it.
I guess I was just thinking like how the NFL seems to find a way to be in the news every week during the off season. That they have, and baseball, the hot stove is good, and it's gonna.
Well, I was geeking out over the Jackie Bradley Jr. Hunter Renfro trade last night. No one cares about that unless you're in Milwaukee or Boston, but I do.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it kind of crazy how all these deals were going all the way up until like the lockout?
Right.
So like, what does that mean?
Because now you can't do anything.
Yeah.
So teams had to get business done. Like, say what the lockout lasts until February.
Yeah.
Do you want to have to try to go chase your free agents then? I mean, they had this deadline. They had to, if you had money to spend or if you had players to target, you had to get something done by now.
It's just going to be interesting to see. Like, okay, so what? What kind of league are your players getting signed into? What's the collective bargaining going to be like? Is there going to be some sort of soft cap? There already is a soft cap, I guess, with a luxury tax, but is that going to change?
Well, you look, there's a couple of teams that took one approach. The Texas Rangers spent, $500 million?
Yeah.
The New York Mets, $250 million?
All on Max Scherzer.
I mean, all over,
yeah.
Right? These teams were super aggressive. They said, I want him.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like Oprah Winfrey. And you get a contract. They went nuts. Now, again, I'm not criticizing because we don't know how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Royals approach it?
They sat back and watched.
Okay. All right. And then who did they sign?
Taylor Clark.
There, see.
28 years old.
There it is. And so that's what they came. So they clearly took their approach like, yeah, we're not doing nothing.
Hey, the Tigers spent some big money.
There it is.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Sure. A lot of teams were very aggressive. They knew who they wanted. And look, I don't, like, it's the price tag isn't going to change on some of those guys. You're not going to get, like, a bargain basement deal with Max Scherzer later on. Or, you know, Javi Baez or whoever the big names were that already signed. There's some big names that still, they're going to wait and see. And who knows, right? See, you make a good point. Who knows what happens? I can tell you, the guys that signed with the Rangers, they made the right choice. Because they got seriously paid. The Rangers wanted to spend all that money. They wanted to be aggressive. They jumped on it. They're good. It'll be interesting to see some of the big names that didn't sign. Are they going to get contracts like that? Or what? When the lockout's over, what's the environment going to be? It's a risk. You're betting on yourself. Some guys are going to get paid anyway, right? But maybe for some of the middle of the road free agents. And again, for teams that decided to take the wait and see approach, are they going to get some deals? Are we going to talk about this when the lockout's over? Like, oh boy, the Royals were super smart for waiting on this. Look, they got a deal on this guy. That worked out. They made a nice trade. Everything worked out perfectly. Or are the teams that were real aggressive? Who knows? I don't know. But we don't, right? We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are teams that made that took two vastly different approaches. The Rangers got drunk and spent $300 at, Walmart at 2 in the morning. Never done it.
That seemed kind of like a specific anecdote.
Yes, I have.
For something you've never done.
Yes, I have. One time, no.
Do you remember what you spent your $300
on? I'm not going to say this. Yeah, I am. One time at 3 in the morning, I bought a camcorder at Walmart.
Well.
So.
Did you need it for something specific at 3 in the morning?
Here's the deal. Not specific then, but I made someone drive me to Walmart. Well, I'm just, guess who? She's like,
Susan?
Why are you telling this story on the air? Because, we'd had a wonderful evening out and about, right? And then one of the kids had something. The next day, like at 10 or 11, I can't remember what it was, and I couldn't find, it sounds so stupid now, so I couldn't find the camcorder.
Oh, you already had one.
It was outdated, kind of.
Okay.
I'd been at least tossing around the idea, and then, take me to Walmart. I'm not taking you to Walmart, because you're going to buy a new camcorder, aren't you? No, I'm not. I'm just going to buy a battery for this when I find this one. And I just, we didn't need to talk about this.
That's not what I thought you were going to be recording at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. No. Hey, and who knows? I don't know. Hey.
Can be used for more than one thing.
We had to make sure it worked, didn't we? But the point is, I was the Texas Rangers. And that's the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
They bought some camcorders at 3 in the morning.
Hey, this Walmart might be closing at 3:30. We got to get there now.
Right. Baseball's closing in a couple of days. Let's spend all our money. That's what they did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
I got all these dollar bills left. I got to make it rain. Club's closing in half an hour. Pop, 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 pop. Can't go home with all those $1 bills.
You can't.
That's
what's the point?
Lots been said right now that I wish I could take back.
What do you have all these $1 bills for?
I'm 49. Things have happened like a long time ago. I still talk about it. None of this is recent, Way back in the day.
You just feel like they can't be dumb enough.
Sure they can.
And then you think, they can. Yeah. Right?
Let me interrupt you. Sure they can.
Right? Like, I want to tell myself, there's no way. There's no way they will let this thing go into the season.
They might.
But then I think to myself, they might. They might be that dumb.
There's no way they should be letting this happen right now.
Right. That's right.
They should be capitalizing on the few of us that do enjoy the off season, and the few of us that do geek out over the winter meetings and do talk about, do you see the trade between the Brewers and the Red Sox last night? Or, other people are like, what are you talking about that for? Like, I don't know. I like it. I like trades. I like to look, and then I write them down and I evaluate. Oh, this team got screwed. Ha ha. Like, what do I care? who got screwed between Milwaukee and Boston. But that's probably one of the reasons why I host this show, because I geek out over stuff that other people roll their eyes at. And so for the hardcore baseball fans, this sucks. And so if it's making us mad, making Drake mad, then other people that have been on the fence, kind of like, yeah, baseball, you know, you're not very good to your fans, would all lock out, like, oh, well, screw you, football, NFL, bye. You've got a very few people that are willing to give Major League Baseball any attention right now. And then for those of us that do want to pay attention, you've just said, hey, we don't want you to pay attention to us. Screw you. And so guess what? There's going to be some people say, you know what? All right, baseball, screw you. I ain't coming back. And I don't blame them for it. I'll come back because I'm a simp and I love baseball. But you know what? If you tell me I'm done with it, I'm not going to blame you. Why? Why should I? Why should you spend money on something, on a product that doesn't respect the fans and doesn't respect their wishes, you know? And they don't want our money, apparently. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Thank you to one of our listeners on Twitter for pointing out some good information that John Heyman tweeted last night about the picture of the Royals signed Taylor Clark. This is good, and this is how John Heyman tweeted it. Some inside info on Taylor Clark. So you think, what's he got? You know, what's his repertoire? Is there something there that I need to hear? And it is something very good. It makes me like him a lot. Some inside info on Taylor Clark. His wife's name is also Taylor Clark.
Wow.
Look at that.
That's fascinating.
Now I can see why the Royals signed him. That's fun.
That is pretty crazy.
You know. Would you like to have the same name as your wife?
No.
Why?
It seems like it'd be confusing.
Could be fun. I mean, I don't know.
My wife worked with a guy here in town years and years and years ago, had the same name as his wife, and used his wife's degree to get a job.
There you go. See?
Maybe his wife can sign a baseball contract.
See, you could be a physical therapist or something.
Yeah.
You know? Kelly could be a man's name too.
Yep.
Change your name to Kelly Buchanan and let's see if we can have some fun out here in Overland Park.
No, I like it.
Right.
That's pretty interesting.
Someone calls out, can I speak to Kelly Buchanan? Speaking. You got him. What? Well, that's fine.
Well, how about that? Welcome to the Taylors.
That's
and
right.
The Clarks.
Yeah. Yeah. We deeply apologize to the Clarks for all this. So that's very exciting. So lockout baseball, that's it. Whatever. Football's not locked out.
No, sir.
Chiefs Broncos Sunday night football. LFG. You know what that means, don't you? Don't say it out loud because we'll get in trouble, but you know what I mean.
Let's go.
I'm fired up for this. We all are. Very exciting as the Chiefs take on the Denver Broncos on Sunday Night Football. Tonight on, man, I don't want to watch this game on Thursday Night Football, but here's the deal. I'm sure that other fans in other cities got mad, because I saw some of it on Twitter, that the Chiefs and Broncos were flexed to Sunday night. Oh, we got to watch the Chiefs again? Aren't they always on prime time? So I get that. You know, if you're a... See, but I don't know. If you're a Raiders fan or Chargers fan, don't you want to watch that? Because it has something to do with you.
Yeah, you know, true division.
Yeah, you're excited. You're hoping the Broncos upset the Chiefs. But I guess I get it. If you're an NFC fan or a fan of a different team, not in the AFC West, you could get sick of it. But I know they haven't played, but I feel like it's like tonight's Cowboys Saints. Didn't we just see them on Thanksgiving? And it's not so much the Cowboys, although I'm sick of seeing the Cowboys. And I've been, but here's the deal. I've been sick of seeing the Cowboys for 30 years. Right. I've been tired of seeing the Cowboys. I don't want to see the Cowboys anymore. It's that's how I feel about the Yankees. Like, I never look forward to watching the Yankees. I don't want to see the Yankees. If it's a playoff game, I'd rather not watch the Yankees series unless they're getting ready to lose. If it's an elimination game, I know they're going to lose. Oh, let's tune this into this and see the Yankees get sad. That's just how I am. Whatever. And so I don't want to see the Cowboys. And I, in the past, I have enjoyed watching the Saints, and it was Drew Brees. But like, this version of the Saints, like, I was all fired up. When it was Jameis, sign me up, because you're going to see something wonderful. Either way, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I don't know.
Maybe both.
But it's going to be fun, and it's going to be exciting. But good God, what they've turned into, and I just, I don't, and it's not going to be Trevor Siemian, thankfully. I don't want to watch him play quarterback anymore. So I guess it will be a little bit better. Taysom Hill's getting the start. And, you know, this guy gets paid massive contracts to kind of not be the quarterback. And so now he's the quarterback. So we'll see if he, hell, I don't know. But I just, Cowboys Saints, it seems it's a better game on paper. It's not a terrible game, but it's like, I feel like I've been force fed these teams all season. I don't know. Do you feel that way about it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't really consider the Saints a factor because of their quarterback situation. They've got decent players elsewhere on the field, and that's why they're 5-6. And the Cowboys, I'm not a fan. I'm with you. I've had Cowboy fatigue for my whole life.
Right. I just, yeah.
At the beginning of the year, it looked like, yeah, well, maybe they actually finally are going to live up to the hype. But sure, lately, it sure doesn't look that way. So, no, I'm not super jazzed about that game. There's other games this weekend that I'm really fired up about, you know, much more so.
Chiefs and Broncos, huh?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, that goes without saying. But you got Chargers and Bengals. I think that's a fascinating game.
That's a 5-star game.
That's a, you know, you got Bills, Patriots. To close the weekend out, right?
Oh, that's a. Oh, that's on Monday Night Football too.
I mean, let's go, right? Let's go. So, there's other games that are very intriguing on the schedule. This Ooh. One's not at the top of the list.
Am I going to say this? Do I say that?
I don't know. What are you going to say?
Go. Patriots. Go Patriots.
Are we saying that? Because the Bills have the tiebreaker on us?
I don't know what are we saying, yeah. Maybe?
Here we go.
I don't know what to say. I'm afraid to say. I mean, I'm so puzzled and baffled by what the Patriots are right now. I still feel like in the playoffs, I'd rather play the Patriots and that quarterback than the Buffalo Bills and their quarterback. Is that right, though?
I don't know. There's that Bill Belichick guy over there. they got the best defense in the NFL now, don't they, the Pats?
See, this is what parody and all this has done to me. Like, I have,
yeah.
Usually you feel pretty strongly, okay, yeah, yeah, that's that. I want to face that team. I don't want to face that team. Help me out, people on Twitter, at SSJWHB. So then on Monday Night Football, are we rooting for the Patriots to beat the Bills and win that division? Is that, yeah, I mean, because the Bills do have the head-to-head, right? I mean, I don't know.
Well, the Patriots, they won 6 in a row?
Who would you rather play in the playoffs?
I think I'd rather play the Bills. The thing about the quarterback situation, no, I'm not sure. Not at all. Not at all. No. I just told you two weeks ago I thought the Bills were the best team in the AFC. But
I don't know what I want!
They seem to have that formula when you see young quarterbacks win. It's, well, they can play great defense. They don't ask a quarterback to do too much, have him manage the game. They can run the ball, and the Patriots have that, and they got a Hall of Fame coach. So
I don't know. Now I'm confused. I need to take a break to rethink and recalibrate. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. See, I make things happen. I'm the conductor.
Keeping us all on time, you know, in rhythm.
you know.
I appreciate that. What would we do without you?
Probably have fun. Coming up on the show a little bit later, we'll talk to our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. He'll break down some of those games we were talking about. Gary Lezak will give us a forecast. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. Then in the 9 o'clock hour, Dion Clisso from Preps KC will break down the high school football action, the state championship action, including St. Pius against St. Mary's. No, not St. Mary's from Independence. They no longer play. They no longer exist. But St. Mary's from St. Louis. And we're also going to have Jack Mosh and Robbie Sharp on from the St. Pius team just after 7 o'clock to talk about that game. But right now, introduce our next guest, Nate Bucati.
Speaking of St. Mary's, I think this young man actually attended St. Mary's College for a brief period of time.
Before, to gain more knowledge.
Yeah.
And at St. Mary's College.
Yeah, see? And to play basketball. And then he went to Kansas, was a student manager for the Kansas basketball team.
Shout out to all the managers of basketball teams. Unsung heroes. Thank you.
The hardest workers on the staff.
Right.
And then he worked. He practiced with the team. Got bumped up to play in a college basketball game for the University of Kansas. And now he is the director of basketball operations for St. John's University.
We call them the Dobo.
The Dobo.
Right.
And St. John's plays host to Kansas tomorrow night right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. They called him Scarecrow when he was on the staff, as Greg Gurley fondly recalled yesterday.
Exactly.
I'm not sure Greg really remembered too
much. I'm sure
about
Greg
Chris.
Gurley has any idea that's happened anything longer than 2 years ago. So.
But he job shadowed for us once. I think one of the most formative things that this young man ever did.
That was thrilling for him.
Let's find out. Chris Huey's on the line with us right now from New York City. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Did I get all that right, by the way, on the on your bio?
You got it all right.
Did he really?
All right.
Yeah.
That's super impressive. Usually there's a couple of mistakes in there when Nate intros a guest those many facts.
The funny thing is, though, is Stephen, we had Chris on the show. It became a big story when Bill Self said, hey, you're going to play. Surprised him on senior day. You're gonna suit up. You're going to play. You're going to get in the game if we can. And we had him on the show because we thought it was such a great story, and I knew he had gone to Bishop Ward, which is my alma mater. And then Chris came on the show and said, by the way, I job shadowed for you guys like 2 years ago in high school. You don't remember that, do you?
And it's like, I do. Sure I do. How often do you rely on all of the knowledge you gained during that job shadow in your job today, Chris?
Well, I interviewed with Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal World yesterday, and I told him that my foundation for basketball came from Kansas and Coach Self, but I think my overall work foundation probably came from there, because I guess you could consider that my first job.
That's right.
So I think a lot of that dates back to you guys and what you do there.
That's exactly right, Chris. Thank you for that answer. And so I have a soft spot for the St. John's basketball program for a number of reasons. Number one, my last name's St. John. And when I was one of the student managers, one of the team managers for the UMKC basketball team under Lee Hunt, my nickname, I had two nicknames. I had, of course, as Nate has mentioned, you were nicknamed Scarecrow. I was nicknamed Red Dog, because apparently my face looked like the logo on Red Dog Beer. And Nate likes that. And then they also called me Red Storm, because St.
Nice.
John's, here comes Red Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd walk into practice and coach, Red Storm, come on, let's go. And also, one of my favorite coaches ever, Mike Anderson, is the coach there. And I wish nothing but success for Mike Anderson. So let's start with your duties, because we hear Dobo, Director of Basketball Operations. That's a term we throw around. Tell us a little bit about what you do and what your job is for the St. John's basketball program.
Dobo responsibilities are really interesting. I kind of have a hand in a little bit of everything. I would say my primary responsibilities are just the overall organization of the program, our day-to-day schedule, how we're traveling, what we're doing on the road, making sure our guys are just handling their business, whether it's what time they need to be in the weight room, what time they need to be in class, tutoring, et cetera. And then from a basketball standpoint, a lot of what I do is scouting reports and helping our coaches with player development, especially from a film standpoint. So obviously for me, my scouting report's Kansas. So myself and one of our associate head coaches have been working on Kansas. Our scouts are broken up like most schools, every third scout for an assistant coach. So they kind of match it up based on who's familiar with what. And this being one of the bigger games on the schedule, this is the one that we have. So every day is a little bit different because I have my hand in so many different things, but that sums it up pretty well.
But that prepares you, for someone that wants to continue a career and, you know, become an assistant coach and then hopefully at some point a head coach. This gives you an opportunity to really learn every aspect of running a basketball program from the ground up, and it's an invaluable experience for someone that wants to make coaching career and hopefully at some point, like I said, become a head coach, right?
No, absolutely. And I've been fortunate enough to work for two very great coaches here, in Coach Chris Mullen and Coach Anderson, and both of them have been great to me from an aspect of allowing me to take on a bunch of responsibility and play a role in a bunch of different aspects of the program. So I think I've been able to gain that experience. And even our assistant coaches here now, they do a great job of making sure I'm involved, even in recruiting and watching recruits and things like that. Just being able to be involved in all aspects of the program is huge for growth.
We're visiting with St. John's University Director of Basketball Operations, Chris Scarecrow Huey, Kansas alum, Bishop Ward alum, and getting ready to face the Jayhawks tomorrow night. And it all ties back to this show, really, Chris, is what we're getting at here, because you mentioned that you worked – last time we had you on the show, St. John's was getting ready to play in the NCAA tournament. Chris Mullins was the coach. And didn't you share a cubicle with Mitch Richmond at the time, or share an office with him, something like that?
Yeah, so I'm pretty fortunate from this aspect. So I used to share an office with Mitch Richmond, who obviously I'm sure a lot of your listeners know. And now I currently share an office with Paul Pressey, who is Coach Anderson's best friend. They played at Tulsa together. Coach Pressey played 11 years in the NBA, coached in the NBA 24 years. So I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of wisdom shared upon me by those two NBA greats. So.
And I wish his son Phil Pressey still played at Mizzou, right? Because that was those were good
Flip.
Times.
Yeah.
Flip Pressey, yeah, and that's crazy. And Mike Anderson, and like I said, I enjoyed covering him, and especially now what's happened to Mizzou basketball since then. I think Mizzou fans really appreciate what a good coach Mike Anderson was. Tell me what it's like to work under Mike Anderson and how maybe he's helped you along specifically with your career and what you've done. Because like I said, I root for Coach Anderson and hope for his success wherever he goes.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you know, Coach Anderson's a family guy. So you feel a part of something bigger than yourself just from the very beginning. And I was lucky. Listen, it doesn't happen very often that your head coach steps away and you're able to stay on with the new staff. So I'm very grateful from that standpoint. But also just, you know, who Coach Anderson is on and off the court. He's the same person. He's going to treat everybody the same way. And then from a basketball standpoint, our style of play is just so much different than anyone else really plays. So it's been cool for me to see, I grew up in Kansas City. I watched Coach Anderson's teams play a ton at Mizzou. But just being involved in it, you know, what we do and just sticking to that and seeing how it affects other teams. Coach Anderson has over 400 wins, never had a losing season, over 15-plus years of experience. There's only three college coaches who have that. So that speaks for itself. But just what he's able to get out of our players and his relationships with our guys, I think is the most important thing that I've learned from him, just because he really does maximize their potential and just lets them play freely, which is great to see.
Yeah. So when you mentioned how rare it is to get to stay on with the new staff, I remember when the previous coaching staff was leaving, texting with you, and you're like, "Yeah, we'll see where this goes." And then Mike Anderson gets the job. And ended up texting with our good buddy Jarrett Sutton, who's very close, obviously, with Mike Anderson, played for him, and you guys got in touch. I'm curious what those conversations were like, and then what was it like talking to Coach Anderson, and how did that work out that you were able to stay on?
probably one of the craziest stories. I didn't have a true connection to Coach Anderson or Coach Cleveland, who's our associate head coach and been with Coach Anderson the whole time he's been a head coach. I didn't have a real basketball connection to either of them, but I happened to be around still. At the time, our guys were still in the gym. I was around with the guys, making sure they were still handling their business and then getting in the gym with them. And so when Coach Anderson gets hired, I was here, and he sees me in the gym, and we start talking. And him and Coach Cleveland, they had never been up this way. They're both from Birmingham, Alabama. Coach Anderson's worked at Arkansas, head coach at UAB, head coach at Missouri, head coach at Arkansas. That's where they had been. So they were very unfamiliar with New York. So originally they kind of just agreed to keep me on for a 2-week trial period and see how it goes and see if we mesh well together. And Jarrett was awesome because he gave me a good sense of who Coach Anderson was as a person and what he's looking for. But it was really just, being in here first thing in the morning, making sure that they were all set for the day and helping out with whatever I could those first few weeks. And then we just really gelled. We think alike. Like I said, he's an unbelievable guy off the court, very forward-thinking, always kind of trying to be a step ahead. And he wants what's right for the program, which I think is so important. And so we gelled right away, and I was fortunate enough for him to offer to keep me on. So I'm definitely grateful for that.
Well, hey, man, it's awesome. I'm so happy for you. It's been great to watch your career continue to grow. And we're proud of you being from, of course, look, you're part of the Border Patrol legacy. That's
right.
Really what it really boils down to. And anybody you want to shout out from here in Kansas City before you before we sign off?
You know, my best friend, Jake Miller, Bishop Ward alum, he actually gets married this weekend. So,
bam.
Well, I have a lot of family and friends coming in town for the game. A lot of my friends aren't making it because of his wedding. So I'll give him a shout out because that's important to me. That's my guy.
Hey, man, continued success. We're proud of you, and hopefully we can follow your career as you become an assistant coach and then a head coach at some point, and then you can hire Nate as your play-by-play man, and it can all come full circle, and then he can job shadow you, all right?
Yep.
All right, Chris. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you, appreciate your time, man. Good luck. Yep. What a great story. That's Chris Huey, and that's awesome that he ended up connected with Mike Anderson, and he's doing well as the director of basketball operations for the St. John's Red Storm, and they play Kansas on Friday night, right?
Friday night, 6 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB from Elmont, New York.
That Nate has agreed to root for St. John's and root against Kansas for this one game. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. I play this song because it's one of my favorite songs. But so do you Spotify very often?
No, but we use some. But no, that's not usually my primary. I got the Apple Music thing, and I just kept
big,
it. But
I'm a big Spotify guy.
I will say that Hip Hop Barbecue on Spotify is like the best playlist I ever listened to.
I got a bunch of playlists on there you got to check out. Anyway, but Spotify Wrapped, you know, people that have Spotify understand it. But it's basically the end of the year stats, and they send you this. You could go through the story of all the, like, who you listen to more than anyone else. That gives you, like, your top, I think, top 100 songs or top 40, whatever, songs that you listen to most often for the whole year. And, hell, I don't know. I mean, sometimes the girls listen to my Spotify, but usually it's mostly me driving around when I go for walks or whatever. And so I posted the top five artists that I listened to most in 2021. And so it was, all over the place. My number one artist that I listened to most, according to Spotify, was Vicente Fernandez. And so I could see that because I listen to that every morning when I'm getting fired up, coming to work. Number two is Elvis.
Okay.
Number three was Tenacious D.
Nice.
Number four, Sturgill Simpson. And you see, number five somehow was ABBA. I went through a phase where I was listening to... For several months, I listened to a lot of it. Like, I was going through a disco phase, and I just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, play that song. Listen how this song, if this song doesn't make you feel good or get you to dance, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if we can be friends.
I was watching. Sure. Have you seen that documentary series? I think it's on Netflix about, like, pop music. There's a whole episode called The Stockholm Syndrome, which is about why all the great pop music has come out of Sweden for like three decades now.
That's quite a range right there.
That is.
My grandfather would be so happy that...
Oh, Vicente Fernandez, what a phenomenal set of pipes.
And then my mother would be very pleased with Elvis. I'm very pleased with Tenacious D. I just like Sturgill Simpson. He's good to walk to, make you think. And then ABBA just makes me feel good on Sports Radio 810 WHB.